Welcome back to another episode of Student Spotlight, where we check in on some of the industry's brightest young minds across the country. I'm Jimmy Miller, an associate editor with Lawn and Landscape magazine. Today, you'll hear from Emily Braithwaite, a student at Oregon State University. Emily has already accomplished a lot. She's defending a thesis in July and has already gotten around to opening a lab at her school. Here's more from Emily.
My name is Emily Braithwaite. I'm a master's student at Oregon State University, and I study plant parasitic nematode communities in turf grass.
Okay, awesome. And I always like to know how somebody gets into this, right? Like, at what point did you realize that this was a viable career, and how did you kind of find your niche?
I kind of came to this a bit later in life. I took a roundabout way to finding turf grass as a career opportunity. But I kind of grew up in a gardening family, and have sort of roots to that as far as enjoying gardening and plants. But I never really thought it was a prospect for a career. So I'd studied other things like languages in college, and got a summer job actually working at a research farm at my undergraduate school. And I just kind of fell in love with the fact that you could marry science with being outdoors. And I very quickly just sort of fell in love with the people, with what it offered me. And they said at the end of the summer, you know, you can do this as a career. And I changed paths right then at the end of the summer and kind of have never looked back, really.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, it's not terribly uncommon to hear somebody say, yeah, you know, I didn't really know that it was a career possibility. But once I found out, I made that switch. So I guess just kind of take me backwards a little bit here. You mentioned that you were studying different languages. What languages and what were you kind of hoping to do with that?
So I studied French, and I'd always had an interest in science, but wasn't sure, didn't want to go the pre-med route. And so I leaned heavily on learning languages and teaching. So when I found that I could do something that was not the pre-med route or working in a lab specifically, it was kind of cool to know that there was more outside of plants than just mowing grass. There was other things to pursue with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, so you mentioned that you had like the undergrad experience. Where was that at?
So I went to Rutgers University in New Jersey before coming out to Oregon.
Okay, wow. Definitely different sides of the country. What led you to Oregon?
It was actually my partner got a job out in Oregon, so we met at school in New Jersey, and he got a job opportunity out here, and I moved with him and kind of found my space at Oregon State here, worked for a little bit in the department, and now have since gone back to school to pursue higher education.
Okay, very cool, very cool. So how much schooling is left for you, you know, what sorts of professional, like, I'm sure that you have to balance, like, work and school. What are you kind of balancing right now on your plate, and how much longer do you have until you are a full graduate?
Yeah, so I think coming from working as a research assistant beforehand in the same department, I do have some problems with juggling work and school, so I tend to fill my plate with a lot of different things. I am set to defend in July, and then I'm hoping to transition right into a PhD with the work that I'm doing. But a lot of what I do, I kind of found my direction to this master's. I opened up a diagnostic lab for our program, and I was dealing with homeowner samples, landscape samples, and finding that there were lots of questions people had that we didn't have answers for. So I'm still working with that diagnostic lab, but kind of taking what we've learned there and transitioning it into this degree that I'm doing. So that's a lot of what I'm doing at the moment in between, you know, writing my thesis and trying to get ready to defend at least.
Yeah. If you don't mind, tell me a little bit about the thesis and what that defense process kind of looks like for you.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm studying plant parasitic nematode communities, and a lot of what I've done is survey the Pacific Northwest. So I'm specifically at the moment looking at golf courses and communities that exist and are causing damage. And we're trying to develop action thresholds for management because there's limited chemical options available. And we want to make sure that we are using more targeted approaches, and we don't really have a baseline understanding of what we have in the Northwest. So I've been working pretty heavily on communities community analysis of our plant parasitic nematode populations and using case study kind of survey work. And that's what I'm writing up for my master's dissertation. And then we're taking that on a larger scale for a PhD, kind of going to 60 different golf courses across the West Coast.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you say across the West Coast, is it all primarily in Oregon, or will you be traveling to like California, up north even more? Like where are you headed?
Yeah, so I'm doing California, Oregon, Washington. We're looking to try to expand into British Columbia as well because they have heavy restrictions on pesticides. So there is a huge interest in trying to find management solutions for problems up there as well. So we're just slowly expanding. There are very few nematologists and even fewer turfgrass nematologists, especially on the West Coast. So we're trying to fill a gap in knowledge with all of this work.
Yeah, okay. And then the PhD studying, I would assume then that that's also through Oregon State?
It is, yeah. I officially submitted my application a couple weeks ago, so I'm looking to start that in September.
Okay, very cool. And I'm so uninformed. How much additional schooling will that be for you? Is that, I think it's a couple more years, right?
Yeah, I think it should work out to hopefully 3 years. I'm doing a lot of the work for it right now. Like I said, I put a lot on my plate. So trying to get some of the legwork done so that that timeline is condensed a little bit.
Okay, I gotcha. And then just take me back a little bit again to the thesis and the process of defending a thesis. For anybody who might not know, myself included, actually, what does that process look like? Like, I imagine, you know, you have to submit the thesis and then you get in front of a group of colleagues and, you know, credentialed professors and essentially say, like, here's what the thesis is, here were the findings, and they kind of open it up for questions.
Yes. So I assembled my committee. It's, like you said, a panel of experts who are helping guide me through this process. And I have various experiments that I'm writing up. I also have a literature review. So I'm looking at the sort of historical approach to this problem, what kind of information exists out there, and write that into a long thesis dissertation, big document. That is then reviewed by them. And then I get up in front of my peers and present that research and answer questions publicly. And then we go behind closed doors and I get grilled by my committee members to make sure that they feel that I am qualified to pass and basically have a master's and that I understand the material and can answer their questions correctly.
Wow. What an intense process. It seems like that would be a long day.
Yeah. And so I'm speaking of this, I've not gone through it yet. So a lot of this is just from what I've heard from graduate students that have passed the process as well. So I'm walking into it slightly blind as well.
Yeah. How much leaning on some of your peers have you been able to do in preparation for this process?
A fair amount. I think having kind of camaraderie in graduate school and people you can surround yourself with who are either going through the same thing or have recently gone through it is really helpful. My partner has gone through this. He did his PhD. So I've been heavily leaning on him for what to expect and kind of things to think about, which is nice.
Yeah. And your partner, I'm sorry if you've already said this, did he have his PhD in a related field or was it something different?
We are both in the same discipline, yes.
Okay.
And he's also at Oregon State, so makes our commute nice and easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Will he be traveling with you to all these different golf courses?
Some of them. He is a golfer, so he likes to come and play golf and sometimes help me sample. I try to balance that a little bit.
Absolutely. You know, just taking this, the research and kind of applying it to maybe how like landscapers might be able to use it, right? And I know that there's some crossover between golf courses and turf management and like general lawn care practices. How do you envision like that application, you know, in terms of what you are actually researching for like landscapers? Like what, I guess the question really becomes like, what sorts of findings do you hope landscapers can use, you know, in their general work?
Yeah, so I think you're correct that nematodes aren't necessarily a prevalent problem for landscape businesses at the moment, but a lot of what my background is in is with diagnostics and fungal pathogens or abiotic and biotic stresses. So I've leaned pretty heavily into that for the homeowner landscape markets. So I'm still continuing a lot of that work. And down the line, you know, we have sand-based root systems in sports fields and some other places where that may become an issue for landscape down the line. But I would say a lot of the things that I focus on for homeowners and landscapers are with my diagnostic lab and those stress management portions.
Yeah. I want to jump back to something you had said earlier because I want to make sure I understand. You said that you helped kind of open up this lab that you're currently working at?
Yes. Yeah, I opened it.
Wow. Okay. So take me through that process. I've never talked to somebody who's opened up a whole lab before.
So it was actually, we picked the perfect time to do it. It was 2020, so everything was shutting down, which was, really good time to try to open up a new business, right?
Yeah.
But I had noticed being out in Oregon that there were problems going on in that landscape golf course homeowner kind of faction, and they were sending diagnostic samples elsewhere in the country. And I thought, well, we're missing out on what are the prevalent pests and problems for people, our stakeholders in our state. So why are we not getting those samples and answering those questions? So I talked to our department head and said, listen, I have an idea and I want to open a turfgrass diagnostic lab. He was very supportive and allowed us to do that. And so now the Pacific Northwest, those samples are getting routed to us. And we have been able to identify new problems that are occurring in our region. We have a lot better handle on things that are important to stakeholders and things we need to be thinking about. Most of what I do, my end goal with a lot of what I do is to provide solutions to real world problems. And I saw a gap there that was not being filled. And that was something that we had an opportunity to do.
Yeah. In terms of the lab and I guess like the process of, not only getting it started, but continuing it, do you envision continuing with the lab beyond your education? How might you kind of pass that down to somebody who might be able to take over for your work should you decide not to continue it past school?
So I would like to continue. We are training up new people to assist with it since I'm in school at the moment and have had to take a slight step back. The reason I went back and started looking at nematodes is I saw this as a viable opportunity of another service we could provide with that lab.
Yeah.
There's very few people doing it. So the more that we can do for our region by looking not just at pathogens, but nematodes too, and we can, as we expand, we can train more people and bring them in.
What's that process like for you, both managing your school workload, but also managing people and managing like a lab? First, like, what's that work-life kind of balance, right? But secondly, what have you kind of learned about managing people through this process?
I think patience is important, and managing expectations. When you're working with training people and dealing with basically customers who are submitting samples, it's about communication and patience. And that's some of the things that I've been learning over the years, and a lot of it I'm learning on the fly as well. I have a support system that the university is helping processing with fees and things, but it is a learning curve.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing we like to do with this podcast is kind of talk a little bit about what your current views on the green industry are and what are some of the things that excite you. Obviously you're getting into it, right? So there's stuff that certainly excites you, but also areas for growth or change as well, because most of the students we talk to, they're going to be the next generation of, in many cases, like landscapers. But, in your case, somebody who is going to be working on a more like scientific research level in the green industry. So why don't you take me through, I guess, like some of the areas that really excite you about, the field you're stepping into, but also some of the areas where you feel like maybe there's some opportunity for change.
So I think there's kind of a thing that fits in both categories. One thing that excites me and one thing that is starting to change, and that is women in the green industry, I would say. So the turf industry is very heavily male dominated, and I've been doing this almost a decade now of involvement, and just seeing this seismic shift in focus on training more diverse communities and bringing more women into an industry. It's something I'm excited to see growing, but it still has a long way to go, I would say.
Yeah. Is there anything that you think the green industry can be doing differently to continue or expedite like that growth process?
I think trying to build the education in there and outreach, I'm someone who found this career by chance, and I know that's true for a lot of people in the green industry. So showing it as a viable career opportunity earlier for people, I think is really important, because there are a lot of women that are working in the industry that maybe aren't highlighted enough to kind of show other ladies that this is a career opportunity for them.
Absolutely. Okay. That makes sense. You know, I do want to ask a little bit about just like both your undergrad and graduate experience, right? Learning about the green industry and recognizing that it's a viable kind of career path. Who were some of the teachers, or what were some of the classes that really kind of reinforced this idea of, okay, yeah, this is something that I'm absolutely going to do?
One of them that really stuck out, I would say, was plant pathology. That really hooked me in from the start. But other things, like we had interesting horticulture classes at Rutgers where you got to learn about more than just your focus or discipline. So the role of other crops in kind of societal impacts of them.
Okay. Take me through like an example of something that maybe surprised you or I don't know, like I guess in some way kind of reinforce that idea of like, you might not realize that how much this affects our community.
That's a tricky one. Well, I think some of just like the food crops maybe, or just being able to learn a little bit more about, you know, I peripherally knew plant biology and, you know, how plants photosynthesize things, but not really the role of agriculture in the broader scheme of things, I suppose.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. Awesome, Emily. Well, it sounds like you have a ton of really great things going on. And, you know, as we kind of look toward closing the podcast here, you know, I really just wanted to ask you if there's stuff I didn't ask about that maybe you think somebody listening to this podcast should know about you, about the future of the green industry, about anything that we've discussed.
I think there's a lot to be excited with the green industry. As technology is shifting and it's getting more emphasis in learning, I think there's lots of new things on the horizon. There's a lot more focus on like more sustainable agriculture. So I think just being interested, being curious about what things are going on.
Thanks for listening to the Lawn and Landscape Podcast Network. This was another episode of Steam Spotlight. Thanks to Emily for joining the show. Thanks to you for sticking around. If you liked what you hear, visit lawnandlandscape.com to hear more episodes or find us wherever you stream your podcasts. I'm Jimmy Miller, associate editor with the magazine, and we'll catch you next time.